Good morning. I can tell it's an intergenerational service. We've already got the energy. In a spirit of gratitude and respect, we acknowledge the Saanich First Nations on whose traditional land we gather. I'm Anna Isaacs, your worship associate, this Sunday, the 5th of November, 2017. Our theme for the month of November is ancestry, and today is a service for all ages.
Where do we come from? That is the key question as we explore this month's theme of ancestry. We are here because of those who went before. They have kindled the light within us, and then we pass that light on to others. This morning, Adeline Morris will light our chalice, the symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith. She has been selected as our honored volunteer this month. You may have read in the newsletter about the many ways she's helped to sustain our congregation and its mission with her sharp mind, administrative and financial skills, and her loyal commitment and care. Let us lift up our gratitude for all who have sustained our Unitarian Universalist faith, past and present. Blessed be. Who are your ancestors? Grandparents, great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Where did they live? What kinds of traditions and values did they pass on to you? Which of those gifts would you want to pass on to those who come after you? Later in a ritual in today's service, you will all get the chance to answer this question. What gift have you received from your ancestors that you would like to pass on to others? That's what the pencils and strips of paper are for. Do not write your answer down yet. Your answer might change as you listen to the stories of your fellow church members and as we expand the scope of who counts as an ancestor. Eleanor will begin.
One gift I received from my ancestors that I'd like to pass on to my own daughter, Gaia, is the value of honoring our family ties. Our Jewish culture, passed down through my father's ancestral line, places the family at the center of a holy and whole life. Although my mother was Catholic and raised us as a church-going family, we celebrated the occasional Jewish holiday if my grandparents were in town. As a child, I remember feeling very close to my grandmother, who I knew affectionately as Bibi, and I remember our almost daily 2 to 5 minute phone calls where I was simply showered in her love. It wasn't until my adult life that I began to appreciate that she embodied the Jewish principle of cherishing family. One very important ritual that she held fast to was Friday night supper, traditionally the Sabbath. It was a time to pause, let go of whatever circumstances we toiled with in our daily life, and to be together enjoying the abundance of food and the company of our family. While she was unattached to following the traditional manner of this weekly time of rest, she always lit a candle and said a prayer of gratitude and delight for the chance to gather as a family yet again. I treasure the 2 years I spent with Bibi in Montreal when I moved to Canada, and Friday nights with her and my own growing family are forever embedded in my heart. So for the ritual today, when asked, what is one gift I received from my ancestors that I would like to pass on to others, I wrote down, honoring and celebrating our family ties. Gaia, will you please hang this on the tree of life?
Thank you, Eleanor and Gaia. Next, we'll hear from Ted Humphreys.
The 1930s were tough years for many. When I was a child, my family lived on welfare in Toronto. My father died in 1939, and my mother was impoverished. She was trained as a secretary and had two girls, 14 and 16, and one 9-year-old boy. That was me. I learned that her goal was to see her children gaining the skills needed to live a good life and to love them. As a result, she worked long hours and trusted her children to work hard and to graduate from school. We did. My sister as a secretary, my other sister as a nurse, and I as a teacher. We learned to love a life and live a life in which we were free and to make decisions on what was important in our life. We learned that helping those in need was critical to our success. And having money and the many things it could buy was not the most important thing in our life. We also learned that many decisions should respond to the needs of people around us, and that we needed to consider their needs as well as our own. These lessons have served me well. So for the ritual today, when asked, what is one gift I received from my mother that I would like to pass on to others, I wrote down respect and care for people in need.
Matea has agreed to represent our younger generations and bring Ted's gift to the Tree of Life. Thank you, Matea. Thank you, Ted. Of course, not all families are biologically related to each other. For example, I did not give birth to my son Demetrius. Shauna did. I am one of his mothers, and he is my child, though he is not my biological child. Which made me wonder, how does that affect his relationship with my ancestors? My parents are absolutely his grandparents. They know him, he knows them, and they love one another dearly. But my grandparents died before Demetrius was born. He's never met them, and he's not biologically related to them. Are they his great-grandparents? They were Czech and Polish. It doesn't feel right to say that Demetrius is of Czech or Polish heritage. His heritage from Shauna and from our donor includes British, German, and African American. I thought about my Czech grandmother. The gift that she gave me is unconditional love. No matter what I did, she was always rooting for me. If I was worried about a test at school, or when I was older, some complicated hurdle in my early career, even if she understood nothing about the topic, she would always assure me that I was wonderful and smart and capable, and I would do just fine. She used to sign her letters with oceans of love. That was the gift she gave to me, and I strive to pass that gift on to my own children. I tell them that I will love them always and forever, no matter what. So in a way, the gift I received from my ancestor, my grandmother, does get passed down to my son, even though they are not biologically related. I'm still not sure that makes her his great-grandmother, but it's nice to think about. Furthermore, when I became a minister, one thing that was really important to me was that our Unitarian Universalist kids feel unconditionally loved. Did you hear that, kids? If you're a kid or a teenager, can you wave at me so I can see where you are? A kid? Hi, there we go. Thank you. There you are. Okay. So did you hear that? You are lovable. Always and forever, no matter what. You are worthy of love. That's our first UU principle. So the gift that I've received from my ancestor that I would like to pass on is oceans of love. Can I have a kid volunteer to tie this on the tree? Eager volunteers all over there who already have roles in the service. But okay. Charlie, can you come tie it on? Thank you, Charlie. Ancestors can be a part of our family. Ancestors can also be people who are not at all related to us, but have inspired us or taught us something important, something that has become a part of us, something that we want to share with others. Maybe there is an artist that inspires the way you create, a writer that has affected the way you think, a musician whose music you carry with you in your heart, a social activist that inspires the way you work for justice in the world. You might call these people chosen ancestors or spiritual ancestors. In Unitarian Universalism, we have Unitarian Universalist ancestors, people who have shaped our faith and whose stories continue to inspire us. The youth in our Coming of Age program are learning about some of these UU ancestors. They chose one whose story they would like to share with us today.
We would like to share some things we have learned about Emily Stowe, one of our Unitarian Universalist ancestors. She was born in Ontario on May 1, 1831, and lived until April 30, 1903. She was a member of the Toronto Unitarian Church. When asked about her spirituality, she said that she desired knowledge from the interior life, and that truth which alone makes one free. Emily had been a teacher and a school principal before her marriage, and when her husband got sick with tuberculosis, she returned to teaching. At the time, women teachers got paid half the amount men did, and so Emily decided to leave teaching to find a career where she could make more money to support her family. In 1865, Emily applied to the Toronto School of Medicine, which at the time had no female students. They would not let her in. The vice president of the school told her, "The doors of the university are not open to women, and I trust that they will never be." Stowe replied, "Then I will make it the business of my life to see that they will be opened, that women will have the same opportunities as men."
Unable to get medical training anywhere in Canada, Emily went to the New York Medical College for Women instead. There, she became involved with the suffragette movement and began to fight for women's rights, including the right to vote.
After getting her degree in New York in 1867, Emily began to practice homeopathic medicine in Toronto. She kept trying to enroll in classes at University of Toronto, which she needed to get her medical license, but was denied over and over again. In 1870, she was finally given permission to take courses, but her male classmates' harassment was so horrible that she left the school and continued to practice for 13 years without a license. She was granted the license in 1880. Emily helped get her daughter Augusta admitted to the Toronto School of Medicine. In 1883, Augusta became the first female doctor fully trained in Canada. Emily helped found the women's movement in Canada, including campaigning for Canada's first medical college for women, now known as Women's College Hospital in Toronto. She spent her life fighting for what she believed in.
All right. Stay here. Thank you, and thank you to our youth coordinator, Aaron Little. Give a wave. Thank you, Aaron, who helped write and direct. So, question for each of you. What is one gift you have received from our spiritual ancestor, Emily Stowe, that you wish to pass on to others?
Being the first to achieve something magnifies the impact on everyone.
Amelia.
Determination is important to do what you want.
Finn.
Women's empowerment.
Charlie.
Gender equality and perseverance.
Athena.
Gender equality, perseverance, and always stubbornness.
Matea.
Fight for what you believe in.
Thank you. Nolan.
Stand up for what's right, even when no one believes it's possible.
Awesome. Thank you. You guys rock. go ahead and put those gifts, those values and lessons on our tree of life. Okay. Your turn. Think about your ancestors, family ancestors, biologically related or not, chosen ancestors, spiritual ancestors. What gift have you received from your ancestors that you would like to pass on to others? Write the answer on the paper strip you received when you came in. If you still need a paper strip, raise one hand. If you need a paper strip, raise one hand, and our youth will bring you paper strips. One hand if you need a paper strip. Two hands if you need a pencil. Raise two hands if you need a pencil. One hand if you need a paper strip. And three hands if you need all of them. Kids, feel free to ask your grown-ups for help if you need it. And if, kids, you don't want to do one yourself, you can share the one with your grown-up, the one that your grown-up writes. You can ask your grown-up what they would like to pass on to you. Brayden will play a little music while we think and write. Now I need six volunteers, kids preferably, especially kids who don't already have a role in the service. We'll start with them to collect the strips of, to pass these baskets to collect the strips of paper. And you can bring a grown-up with you if you need help. Natty, thank you. So you're going to take this basket to pass it to this section of people. Any other kids? Flora, would you help? You don't have to if you don't want to. Or Christine, you can come and help Sophie if you'd like. Okay. All right. Here we go. Jen, please do the front of the middle. Front of the middle. Nolan, the back. Start in the back of the far, far end of the sanctuary. Matea, can you do the back of the middle section? And there's one left. Athena, can you do this section? Of course, we humans and all of our human ancestors have been held and sustained and nurtured by the earth. The earth provides the food that nourishes our bodies. Spending time in nature can also feed our spirits. Many of us feel blessed by the gifts we've received from our planet, gifts we'd like to pass on to future generations. So we pay homage to this great relation, often revered as Mother Earth. I should note, by the way, that Unitarian Universalism affirms people of all genders. We know there are more than just two gendered identities. Some of the songs that we sing seem limited in this way, using gender binary words like brother, sister, and mother, father, instead of including gender neutral terms like siblings and parents. So for this song, I suggest that we sing in the spirit of those who wrote it, celebrating the interrelation of all humans with all of nature. And Nancy's going to lead us. Breathe in, breathe out. Take a moment to picture in your mind's eye your own ancestors, genetic ancestors, chosen ancestors, spiritual ancestors. Who has shaped who you are? Who do you carry with you? I invite you to speak aloud the names of any ancestors you wish to honor today. Bring their names into our sanctuary so that their spirits may be more present with us. Just say their names all together in a regular tone of voice. A reading from the Tree of Life. Anna, what are some of the gifts we have received from our ancestors that we wish to pass on to others?
Concern for social justice. Frugal. Unconditional support. Hospitality. Generosity, connection. The reminder that we contain multitudes. None of us are only one thing. Embody this. Nevertheless, she persisted.
Nice.
Positive encouragement. To dream.
So may it be. As time is short, we will skip the last hymn and go directly to the closing words. The people who have loved you, the people who have inspired you, are all inside of you. How do you use those gifts to reach out to others? How will you honor the legacy of your ancestors?